It's the Noon Report from Family Life, bringing a Christian worldview to what's happening in New York, Pennsylvania, across the country, and around the world. Weather with Kevin Williams, sports with Sunny Delfiette, plus special features and reports with the Family Life News team. Now, here's what's happening.
Good afternoon. Welcome to the broadcast. I'm Bill Price. Day 5 of the impeachment hearing.
It's a hoax. It's a disgrace. It's an embarrassment to our country.
That is our top story at noon, following explosive testimony yesterday from EU Ambassador Gordon Sondland. Today, the man who overheard President Trump's phone call with the ambassador talking about what he knows of the Ukraine scandal.
I then heard President Trump ask, so he's going to do the investigation. Ambassador Sondland replied that he's going to do it, adding that President Zelensky will do anything you ask him to do.
David Holmes is an aide to the top diplomat in Ukraine. He told lawmakers today he believes military aid to the Ukrainians hinged on them launching an investigation into the Bidens.
My clear impression was that the security assistance hold was likely intended by the president either as an expression of dissatisfaction with Ukrainians who had not yet agreed to the Burisma-Biden investigation, or as an effort to increase the pressure on them to do so.
Holmes telling the House Intelligence Committee today that Gordon Sondland told him the president cared more about an investigation into the Bidens than he did about Ukraine. Also testifying today, Foreign Affairs Specialist Fiona Hill. She went after Republicans for suggesting that it was Ukraine, not Russia, that interfered in the 2016 election.
The unfortunate truth is that Russia was the foreign power that systematically attacked our democratic institutions in 2016. This is the public conclusion of our intelligence agencies, confirmed in bipartisan congressional reports. It is beyond dispute.
Hill also saying today she found that controversial July phone call between President Trump and his Ukrainian counterpart surprising. So, what's the fallout from all of this?
Nothing new was revealed. We're still in the same territory. What was the president's intent?
Former independent counsel Ken Starr says much of this morning was just replowing old ground. Chris Wallace at Fox News says he didn't hear anything today that would stop House Democrats from proceeding with the impeachment of President Trump.
I was impressed by both of the witnesses. They were very careful in what they said. Neither of them seemed to come with any particular animus or any kind of political point of view.
Wallace says it remains to be seen whether or not America's appetite for impeachment has changed following 5 days of public testimony. White House hopeful Kamala Harris didn't hold anything back when she was talking about President Trump last night at the Democratic debate in Atlanta.
We have a criminal living in the White House.
A California senator joined 9 other Democrats in blasting the president. Vermont Senator Bernie Sanders.
We have a president who is not only a pathological liar, he is likely the most corrupt president in the modern history of America.
And while Trump was the biggest punching bag last night, there were other punching bags. Massachusetts Senator Elizabeth Warren defended her Medicare for All plan.
I want to bring in 135 million people into Medicare for All at no cost to them.
Warren says she'll pay for that plan by taxing the rich. The most interesting part of last night's debate, though, took place between Hawaii Congresswoman Tulsi Gabbard and Senator Harris. Those two fought over the future of the Democratic Party.
What Senator Harris is doing is unfortunately continuing to traffic in lies and smears and innuendos because she cannot challenge the substance of the argument that I'm making, the leadership and the change that I'm seeking to bring.
As for the winners and losers last night, most pundits say Minnesota Senator Amy Klobuchar and South Bend, Indiana Mayor Pete Buttigieg performed well. Former Vice President Joe Biden getting bad grades for his performance last night. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu formally charged today on a series of corruption cases threatening the longtime leader's grip on power. Netanyahu charged with fraud, breach of trust, and accepting bribes in 3 different scandals. It marks the first time a sitting Israeli prime minister has been charged with a crime. Those charges deal a blow to Netanyahu's hopes to remain in office. President Trump says he plans to release his financial records before the 2020 vote. The president says he's clean, and the records will show he's much richer than people think. Courts have recently ruled that Mr. Trump must turn over his finances. The president is appealing that ruling to the U.S. Supreme Court. More young adults are putting off marriage today, but are they also postponing happiness? Here's correspondent Gary Nunn.
While cohabitation's on the increase, Pew researchers find partners living together but not married are not as happy. Marriage brings with it elements of trust and greater satisfaction in a relationship.
That's Gary Nunn reporting. Still to come this Thursday, manhunt underway in Allegheny County, New York. An arrest made at Syracuse University and raising the wage in Pennsylvania.
Good afternoon. Well, with the help of a little sunshine, temperatures are heading toward normal values for a change this afternoon, but the arrival of a cold front tonight will change all that for tomorrow and the weekend. I'll be back with forecast details in 10 minutes.
Thank you, Kevin Williams. Checking the stories right now. Making news where you live in New York and Pennsylvania Thursday, November 21st. Suspicious fire and a hunt for the suspect. State police say two bodies found in a burned-out home earlier today in Clarksville, New York. That's in Allegheny County.
It is suspicious at this point. We haven't actually identified the cause of death. But right now, given the information we have for first responders, which were the fire department to put the fire out, we believe that the cause of death is probably something other than the fire.
Trooper James O'Callaghan says the bodies were found inside a home on Courtney Hollow Road, and they have a person of interest they're looking for. A manhunt underway for 17-year-old William Larson Jr. from Clarksville. Several schools in the area closed. Cuba Rushford, Bolivar Richburg, and Portville Central all shut down today because of the investigation.
We wanted to make sure the schools at least knew that in the area we're investigating something like this and that there could be a person of interest or a person out there that could be a threat. So just as a public safety concern, the schools in the area surrounding this residence have been closed today.
The schools in Salamanca, New York in lockout today, meaning students and staff will remain indoors while classes continue. An arrest has been made in connection with racist graffiti found on the campus of Syracuse University. That school taking some heat after a rash of racist incidents on campus the past couple of weeks. Chancellor Kent Siverud is married to an Asian woman. He says he's experienced firsthand the ugliness of racism.
My kids were threatened. My wife was subjected to many racial epithets. Their car tires were slashed. My kid's dog was shot. Those responsible were never found.
Siverud says he wants to make sure what happened to his family never happens at Syracuse.
That was then. That was the South. It was hard for my wife, it was hard for my kids, but this is Syracuse. This is 2019. This is not who Syracuse is at its best, and it's not who we can let ourselves become.
The chancellor faced growing criticism for his handling of the racist incidents on campus, even drawing a sharp rebuke from Governor Cuomo earlier this week. Kent Siverud says he hopes Syracuse will not be judged on what hateful people do, but how good people respond. Governor Tom Wolf promising to veto pro-life legislation in Pennsylvania. The Down Syndrome Protection Act has passed the House and Senate and would outlaw abortions that target for death babies with disabilities.
These babies are being targeted for death. Yeah. In some countries, as many as 100%. Here in Pennsylvania, upwards of 60 to 80% are the estimates. And we're trying to send a message to Pennsylvanians through this legislation that every life deserves to be protected from conception until natural death. And we encourage people to contact the governor and tell him to have a heart and to protect these lives.
Michael Gere at the Pennsylvania Family Institute. A second death from vaping in the Empire State. Governor Cuomo says the Manhattan man in his 30s had a history of using e-cigarettes. The governor says his administration is taking steps to combat the crisis, but the federal government needs to do more. Christian groups commenting on the Chick-fil-A controversy. The Christian-owned chicken chain decided this week to stop giving to groups like the Salvation Army and Fellowship of Christian Athletes. A lot of activists say Chick-fil-A has caved to the powerful LGBTQ agenda.
When you see a company that is as large and as successful as Chick-fil-A, who now is going to kowtow and get in line, we're concerned about what that says to smaller Christian businesses around the country. Mm. And so I'm very sad to say that this is the day that Chick-fil-A appears to have chickened out.
Jason McGuire at New Yorkers for Constitutional Freedoms. Bumping up the minimum wage, the state Senate in Harrisburg passing a measure that raises the wage in Pennsylvania for the first time in 10 years.
This bill for $9.50, it is a start.
State Senator Lisa Baker says the bump in pay would take place in four stages over the next 3 years. But David Black with the Chamber of Commerce in Harrisburg calls the legislation a political ploy.
This is a wedge issue that sells to certain voter groups, and I think it's more of a political issue than it is a real issue.
Black says the bump in pay will cost the Commonwealth thousands of jobs at $7.25 an hour right now. Pennsylvania's minimum wage is one of the lowest in the country. The measure now heads to the House. In Harrisburg, the General Assembly moving closer last night to settling the battle over lifting criminal and civil statutes for child sex abuse crimes in Pennsylvania. It all stems from last year's bombshell grand jury report that found over 300 priests across the Commonwealth abused over 1,000 kids. The state Senate voting to expand the statutes of limitation. Lawmakers also voting to set in motion a multi-year process of amending the Constitution to give now adult victims of child sex abuse a new way to sue their abusers and the institutions that may have covered it up. New York State speeding up the recovery process for communities devastated by flooding along the shores of Lakes Erie and Ontario in recent years. Governor Cuomo says more than 130 projects have now been given the green light. One of those projects in Hamburg, New York. Town Supervisor James Shaw.
We've got some ideas to kick around about what we can do in the short term to weather the next storm more effectively, and then we've got the long-term issues of how we can make life a little more livable along the lake.
But the governor says more money will be available to help communities take preemptive measures to help mitigate flooding along the shorelines of Lakes Erie and Ontario. Police offering some timely tips to keep in mind for Black Friday and Cyber Monday. Family Life's Paul Price.
Police say criminals pay extra close attention to online purchases and porches this time of year. Here are a few rules for the road, whether you're shopping online or in stores. First of all, do not use public Wi-Fi when making online purchases. Also, keep your computer secure. Have your antivirus software up to date. In stores, well, use credit cards to make purchases instead of debit cards. Don't leave purchases in your car unattended or in the open for burglars to see. Put your Christmas stuff in the trunk of your car if you can. Also, be wary of porch pirates and consider having your online purchases dropped off someplace else where trusted people are, like your workplace, for instance. Bob Price, Family Life News.
Thank you, Bob. A new hospital has opened its doors in North Central PA.
A new full-service hospital built through an unusual partnership between Geisinger Health System and St. Luke's University Health Network opened this week near Wigsburg, Schuylkill County. It's the first time a pair of Pennsylvania health systems teamed up to build a hospital, as well as the first new hospital in Schuylkill County in 90 years. With Bethlehem-based St. Luke's responsible for managing it, doctors from both systems will work there. Geisinger is based in Danville, Pennsylvania. Terry Diener, Family Life News.
Okay, Terry, history made last night in the NBA. Sunny time, your two-minute drill.
Yeah, how about a little history for Ben Simmons last night?
Shooter there.
First career three-pointer. Sixers knock off the Knicks 109-104. Philly improved to 5-0 at home, 9-5 overall. The Knicks fall to 1-7 on the road, 4-11 overall. If you think that's good, how about Luka Doncic in a 142-94 win against the Warriors?
It was Luka early and Luka often as he went for a 35-point triple-double. The fewest minutes played in a 30-point triple-double in NBA history.
He did that in just 25 minutes, 30 seconds, the least playing time in NBA history by a player to produce a 30-point triple-double. And it's his seventh triple-double of the season, the most by a player in the first 14 games of a season since Oscar Robertson back in 61-62. Luka Doncic also the youngest ever to do that. Congratulations. While he's hot, the Cavs are not. Crushed by Miami, 124-100, the Cavs have lost five straight. Fred VanVleet leading the Raptors by the Magic, 113-97. In Brooklyn, Jared Allen with the double-double. Nets get by the Hornets, 101-91. On the ice, Rangers get by the Capitals, 4-1 in Madison Square Garden. One of the most decorated drivers in stock car racing, hanging up his good years, Jimmy Johnson announced that the 2020 season will be his final lap behind the wheel of the number 48 car. College basketball, Sam Sessions leading Binghamton by NJIT, 77-75. And in the Boeheim battle, Jimmy outscored Buddy, 25-16. Buddy and Dad, Syracuse, crushing Cornell, though, 72-53. For Family Life, I'm Sonny Dolphia.
Thank you, Sonny. Still to come this Thursday, the latest on the House impeachment inquiry. Democrats squaring off last night, and just in time for Thanksgiving, the world's largest green bean casserole.
Can we learn something from someone who grew up at Westboro Baptist Church? Maybe how a really bad idea infects an entire life. For the Colson Center, I'm John Stone Street. This is Breakpoint. It's exhausting to talk about Westboro Baptist Church. This small cult has caused a tremendous amount of pain around the country. Not only do they hurt those that they picket, like families of fallen military heroes, they're often trotted out by media outlets as examples of Christian bigotry. Like I said, it's exhausting. Megan Phelps Roper is the granddaughter of Westboro founder Fred Phelps. She made news a few years ago when she escaped and renounced the cult of her childhood, an experience that she's described in a new book. And in her recent interview with popular atheist podcaster Sam Harris, Phelps Roper offers a glimpse into the evil philosophy behind Westboro. Well, according to Phelps Roper, the group's motivation for publicly celebrating terrorist attacks or praising their so-called God for a deadly famine is all grounded in a perverted interpretation of God's sovereignty. Because God always accomplishes his will, they believe, and because 1 John 5 says it's not burdensome to love God or his commandments, Phelps and company concluded that we must celebrate everything that happens. Why would they call others to repentance while rejoicing at their arrival into hell as being God's will? And nor is it clear how Westboro explains the loving Father God who created his people to enjoy him forever that's revealed to us throughout the rest of the biblical narrative. How many times in the Old Testament do we hear that God hears the cries of his people? You know, Jesus cried when his friend died, and upon seeing the pain that his death caused to his siblings, just before he turned their tears into rejoicing by bringing Lazarus back to life. Look, the Phelps family believes so many wrong and damaging ideas, but at the root of all of them is a bad idea about God. It's a bad idea that leads to another, that the world today is exactly the way God always intended, not just allowed it to be. But Romans 8 tells us that the creation itself begs and groans to differ. Of course, we can't gloss over the fact that Westboro's goal has always been to get attention, so they go where the cameras are. Bad actions are never justified by bad theology, but bad theology does help to explain bad actions. After all, ideas have consequences, and bad ideas have victims. One really bad, wrong idea about God can infect the way that we read the Bible and see the world until what comes out of us is nothing less than hateful nonsense. To be clear, Westboro's theological fatalism has much more in common with Islam than it does with Christianity, both in their view of God and their view of how he acts within human history. Many Muslims see within the Quran that Allah does what he wills without any particular affection for his creation. That one idea even infects how the Muslim world handles its view of its own infrastructure. For example, in 2015, after a construction crane collapsed near the Muslim holy site of Mecca, killing 118 people, the Saudi company that operated the crane claims zero responsibility. What happened was an act of God, they said. Well, this is why Paul tells Christians to work out their faith. We need to be conscious about what we believe and why we believe it. We need to be vigilant about what ideas we hold, knowing which ideas are actually shaping our beliefs. Now, that, of course, is why Breakpoint and the Colson Center are here, to bring clarity to the issues and trends surrounding us and to help believers understand them in light of a Christian worldview. Nothing brings me more joy than when a mom or a dad dad stop me at an event somewhere and tell me how Breakpoint provides their dinner table conversations. Look, I know this daily commentary is helping Christians connect their faith to the world around them. I'm very thankful to be a part of this. And we exist because of generous listeners like you. So please consider giving a year-end gift. Just go to breakpoint.org/give. That's breakpoint.org/give. For Breakpoint, I'm John Stone Street.
20 minutes past the hour, the weekend almost here.
Good afternoon. Here is your Family Life regional weather forecast. All things considered, isn't a bad day going for us today weather-wise, but a cold front will arrive with some gusty breezes, a couple of showers later tonight into tomorrow morning. Then on that front, low pressure will form down in the Tennessee Valley that'll come northeast and threaten a wintry mix of rain, ice, and snow for parts of our area come Saturday night, and sunny will follow that. In the meantime, for this afternoon, relatively milder than it has been of late, with some sunshine giving way to clouds again. High temperatures, 40s and low 50s. It'll turn out cloudy and breezy tonight with a couple of showers. Temperatures spend the night in the 40s. Gusty winds turning cooler tomorrow. Morning clouds, couple of showers, and some sun. Later day flurries for some. Temperatures dropping through the day, ultimately in the 30s by the end of the day.
Okay, Kevin Williams, if you're just joining us, here are some of the stories we're following for you today. Thursday, November 21st, day 5 at the House impeachment inquiry. Featured testimony today from a Ukraine embassy staffer who says he overheard President Trump on a key phone call with EU Ambassador Gordon Sondland. David Holmes says in that call, the president talked about an investigation in which he wanted Ukraine's help with. Following the call,
I asked Ambassador Sondland if it was true that the president did not give an expletive about Ukraine. Ambassador Sondland agreed that the president did not give an expletive about Ukraine. I asked why not. And Ambassador Sondland stated that the president only cares about big stuff.
That big stuff. The Biden investigation, according to David Holmes. Republicans, however, say the president was interested in investigating whether or not Ukraine had a role in meddling in the 2016 election. Former National Security Council advisor Fiona Hill.
Some of you on this committee appear to believe that Russia and its security services did not conduct a campaign against our country, and that perhaps, somehow, for some reason, Ukraine did. This is a fictional narrative.
Hill says she was surprised to hear of President Trump's July phone call to the leader of Ukraine. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, formally charged today on a series of corruption cases, could threaten the longtime leader's grip on power. Netanyahu charged with fraud, breach of trust, and accepting bribes in three different scandals. It marks the very first time a sitting Israeli prime minister has been charged with a crime. 10 Democratic presidential candidates squared off last night in Atlanta. Correspondent Peter King was there.
While much of the MSNBC Washington Post debate focused on Donald Trump, there were plenty of other issues, like Elizabeth Warren's proposed Medicare for All.
I'm going to bring in 135 million people and Medicare for All at no cost to them.
Bernie Sanders also supports it.
I think now is the time.
Joe Biden says it's too expensive. Instead,
we should build on Obamacare, provide the plan I put forward before anybody in here, adding a Medicare option.
That's Peter King reporting. A federal judge has blocked the Trump administration from resuming executions next month.
The appeal of this, if the administration appeals, will take quite a bit of time. The question is whether the administration just pivots and decides to change their execution protocol. Then they could get things going.
That's legal scholar Lori Levinson. Doctors say they may have discovered a new type of lung injury linked to vaping.
This case involves a 17-year-old Canadian boy who apparently vaped flavored e-liquids. The injury is called bronchiolitis. When small lung airways become inflamed and obstructed, carbon dioxide can't be expelled. It then builds up in the body to toxic levels. It's similar to what's called popcorn worker's lung when someone's exposed to chemical flavoring in microwave popcorn.
That's Gary Nunn reporting. The Austrian house Adolf Hitler was born in will be turned into a police station. The future of that house had been in legal limbo in a dispute between the government and the home's owner until the courts ruled in the government's favor. Officials wanted to take possession of that house to keep it from becoming a pilgrimage site for neo-Nazis. Coming up on 25 minutes past the hour, Thursday afternoon, you're plugged into the Noon Report on Family Life.
This is Faith Under Fire. Each Thursday on Family Life, we give voice to religious battlegrounds in this nation. I'm your host, Tracy Lynn. With us today, Roger Brooks, Senior Counsel with Alliance Defending Freedom. Last year, New York's Office of Children and Family Services targeted New Hope Family Services in Syracuse, demanding the faith-based group change its adoption policy. Would you unpack that a bit for us, Roger?
Well, sure. New Hope is a Christian adoption agency that operates entirely based on contributions. It doesn't take a dime of state money. And they have been operating for half a century and have placed more than 1,000 children in New York into permanent loving homes. Because of their biblical beliefs about the best family for children, they place children with families that consist of a married mother and father. The state of New York has come in and said that if they don't start placing newborns with same-sex and unmarried couples, that the state will take their license and shut them down.
About 2 weeks ago, the Trump administration reversed a prior regulation from the Obama administration that took away funds from faith-based groups that did not comply to grant same-sex couples the right to adopt. As you already said, New Hope is not accepting any state or federal funds, to my knowledge.
Right, and so that regulation didn't directly affect it, since New Hope is just operating on its own dime and the dedication of its staff. Really, for reasons unrelated to the federal regulation, New York state regulators have come after it and tried to shut it down because they simply disagreed with its religious beliefs.
So, Roger, just last week, you gave the opening argument before the Second Court of Appeals. Would you highlight what took place during that time in court?
Certainly. That's the Federal Second Circuit Court of Appeals in New York City. ADF, on behalf of New Hope, filed suit against the state of New York, challenging its threat to shut down New Hope, saying that that violated the free speech and religious freedom rights of New Hope. The district court up in Albany, in an opinion that we think was just mistaken, dismissed our case, threw it out. We appealed that to the Second Circuit, and last week I was arguing in front of a panel of three federal judges that New Hope should be allowed to defend its constitutional rights in the federal courts, and we're optimistic that the Second Circuit is going to agree with us and let us go forward with that challenge.
Great. I know the number of kids that need good homes is staggering. What's the next step in this sort of tug of war over adoption?
The number of children in foster homes in New York, I think, is something like 14,000 at any given time, with more than 4,000 of them just waiting and ready and qualified to be adopted. Mm. So the need is huge, and what New York State is trying to do is simply going to trap more kids in foster home. If the Second Circuit agrees with the arguments I made to it last week about New Hope's constitutional rights and the need to protect them, then we'll go back to the district court and engage in more full-scale litigation to prove the facts, to prove New Hope's right to continue in a manner that's consistent with its faith. And it's a long road ahead. Litigation is slow.
That's so true. So New Hope right now cannot allow adoptions.
Actually, 2 weeks ago, the Second Circuit entered what's called an injunction, a short-term injunction protecting New Hope's ability to keep operating while this litigation goes on. We hope that when it decides the appeal that I argued last week, that the Second Circuit will issue a longer-term protection of New Hope so that it can continue to serve the children of New York throughout this litigation process.
Well, thank you for the fight that you are doing on behalf of ADF and New Hope. This kind of case impacts so much more than just adoption. What are the big reaches of this sort of case?
Well, since the beginning of the church 2,000 years ago, Christians have really led the way in service to the poor, to orphans. One of the apostles, James, commanded Christians at the very start to take care of the poor and widows and orphans. And there's just a whole host of areas in which Christian ministries perform services for those who are really hurting and in need. And if the state can shut down New Hope because it won't bend the knee to the latest politically correct views, then it's going to be able to do that to a lot of Christian ministries. So you're right. We think adoption and the welfare of children is hugely important, but this case has implications that reach even farther than that.
Moving forward, what can we do to make sure that we have religious freedom?
In this immediate situation, you said thank you to ADF, and really let's keep in mind the people who work sacrificially day after day at New Hope and at other Christian adoption agencies and pregnancy support centers. I would encourage your listeners to find out who's doing that kind of service in their area and support them with their time and financially if that's needed. in this time when these folks that should be focusing on simply helping those in need are having to also focus on attacks by government.
Thank you for that. Good reminder for all of us. And we can learn more about this case and others on the website.
ADFlegal.org will take you to a host of information about this case and many others around the country.
That's Roger Brooks with Alliance Defending Freedom. I'm Tracy Lynn, Family Life News.
Thank you, Tracy. Faith Under Fire comes your way every Thursday during the Noon Report. You can also find it online anytime at fln.org/podcast.
Good afternoon. Here is your Family Life regional weather forecast. All things considered, isn't a bad day going for us today weather-wise, but a cold front will arrive with some gusty breezes, a couple of showers later tonight into tomorrow morning. Then on that front, low pressure will form down in the Tennessee Valley that'll come northeast and threaten a wintry mix of rain, ice, and snow for parts of our area come Saturday night, and sunny will follow that. In the meantime, for this afternoon, relatively milder than it has been of late, with some sunshine giving way to clouds again, high temperatures 40s and low 50s. It'll turn out cloudy and breezy tonight with a couple of showers. Temperatures spend the night in the 40s. Gusty winds turning cooler tomorrow. Morning clouds, couple of showers, and some sun. Later day flurries for some. Temperatures dropping through the day, ultimately in the 30s by the end of the day.
Okie dokie, Kevin Williams, appreciate it. Finally at noon, that's one gargantuan green bean casserole. Family Life's Brandon Dixon weighs in on this Whopper.
The frozen and canned vegetable company is now in the record books for the largest serving of green bean casserole, coming in at 1,009 pounds. The historic heaping helping happened in New York City. There were about 125,000 individually cut green beans in the casserole, which comes out to be about 1,069 cans. Additionally, the recipe called for 485 cans of mushroom soup, 65 quarts of milk, and 95 pounds of French fried onions. 10 chefs worked for 8 hours to prep and cook this massive casserole. It'll be used to feed about 3,000 elderly New Yorkers through the City Meals on Wheels nonprofit program. Brandon Dixon, Family Life News.
Thank you, Brandon. That is the world we live in this Thursday. As always, folks, thanks for coming along. I'm Bill Price, Family Life News.
You've been listening to the Noon Report, heard weekdays on Family Life. Thank you for listening.